Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word that we just received just right now, Father. It's so good to hear from you, Lord. And so right now, we just thank you for that. Father, we just praise you. We give you glory, honor, and adoration. And we invite you to come and take your place of honor, Father God. You be the teacher today, Lord. Use me in any way, shape, or form. First of all, forgive me for anything in my life that's not pleasing to you, Father God. And I ask that you would forgive me for those things that I know of, but especially for those things that I don't know of. Father, those things that unsuspecting of me, I've hurt other people or said something that I shouldn't have. Forgive me for those things, Lord. And don't hold any of that against me, Lord God. Bless your people, Father God. Use me. Don't let me be in the way, Father God, today. Lord, right now, Lord, I declare and I decree that you will bring forth your word, Father, that your word will go forth and minister to the needs of your people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against any demonic power, any principality, any type of source that would gonna hinder your word today, Father. I just command it to get out of here in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord God, that you teach us with all power and all goodness and all mercy, Father God. Let us, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and give us a heart full of understanding that we can receive your word and live by it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Do we have children's church today? Yep. Yes, we do. Okay, children. Are we ready? Okay, children. Come on. She's waiting. All righty. I guess we've started something in the, what, internet? They're taking notes, and it's going to be in the in the what now? In the Facebook or wherever? In the Facebook page. So.
Could you what? Could you explain?
So whoever loses, whatever they lose, they'll be able to pick up on it. Like all those people that are not here today. They can pick up on the Facebook and see what we were, what we missed actually, what God had for us. Alrighty then. Okay.
We need to start doing
this drive through church. No. Right. Drive. Use your message card. I'll take that mess. I don't want that one. I like this other one better. Is that the way? All right. All right. Well, today, as you can see, we're going to talk about the fork. Not the kind of fork that we eat with. Not that kind of fork. You know, that one that we kind of use to feed our face? Not that one. It'll be a different fork, believe me. Has anybody ever been on a place where you've come to a fork in the road? Yeah. You know how it is? You know what that is? Yeah. And you're completely unaware which way you're supposed to go. Am I correct? And sometimes you make the wrong decisions and you get to the point to where you're in the middle of nowhere and you don't know how to get back. Has that ever happened to anybody?
Oh, yeah.
That has happened to me so many times it's not even funny. Yes, sir.
Oh.
And you didn't know which way to go. Praise God. But if you had gone someplace else, you would have missed it altogether, huh? Well, you know, that's the way it is when we started walking with God. We don't always have a straight road. The Bible says that it's the long, straight, and narrow that gets us to where God wants us to be. But even then, we still have forks on the road sometimes, which is a time of decision making. Amen? We all get to that point in life. Sometimes we get into these big potholes. that we feel like we're going to drown in there. Other times we get to this hilly parts. But today we want to talk about the fork on the road. What do you think that means in the spiritual sound? Anybody? Don't be shy. What do you think that means, a fork on the road? A what now? A decision to make. That's right. I want to share with you a prophecy that the Lord gave us when we were in the, this was way back in January the 12th, to be exact. We were in an elder prayer time. Every other Saturday, the elders get together in the church and we pray for the leadership of this church, for the Lord to show us the way to go. And he gave us this prophecy, and he didn't tell me to bring it before the church, but the other night when I was in prayer, and it's funny because the Lord always comes in a most inopportune time. Have you ever had that? You know, you're sleeping really nice and warm, especially in wintertime, and it's cold out there, you know, and what happens? The Lord's tapping. Hey, come on, get up. I want to talk. Let's start kicking it for a minute. Everybody had that? Anybody had that before? Oh, gosh. And you're sleeping, and it's cold out there, and you want to wake up, but your eyes just kind of don't want to open. It doesn't matter. If you get up and you listen to the Lord, he'll multiply your time of sleep. I don't mean more time, but more quality of sleep. Amen? But anyway, this is a little, it's a small prophecy, not very long. And the Lord gave it to us, and I remember when he gave this to us. See, look at, let me show you. It's not big. It's a little. But it's down to the point and the nitty-gritty, and this is the way it goes. The Lord says, this is the year of wealth transfer. Isn't that great? Wealth transfer. You ever heard of that? The Bible talks about the wealth transfer. He says that the riches of the unbeliever are being held up for the believer, and the time will come when it's going to be go like this. Well, the Lord says that this is the year for that. He says, stretch your faith beyond the tithe and start giving time, love, and money. This is a year of dedication. He said, set yourselves apart for me. Make me first in your life and consecrate yourself to me. Sounds like he's talking to us, isn't he? It's a serious talk. He says also, this is a year of much suffering. Ooh, that doesn't sound very good. The first one was good. This one sounds kind of... He says the world is going to be shaky. Decisions will have to be made. You are now standing at the fork on the road. Woohoo! He says the church will be shook, and then it will be filled to overflow. What do you think is happening right now? And not just to this church, but to the universal church of God. We're going through a shaking like never before. And it's not fun, is it? Those of us that are getting really tickled down there. You know, because when you get shook and you can't really sit. Still, he says, the church will be shook, then filled to overflow. It says, see the people for what they are. What? Aren't they people? Aren't people people? Most of the time, they're God's people. Most of the time, they're God's people. And other times, they are not God's people, but they're messengers from the enemy to come and buffet. That means make you uncomfortable. He says, I will be with you if you make me first. There's a condition there. If is the condition. If is that, ooh, you can have this if. There's always a condition to God's promises. He says, if you follow me, if you dedicate yourself to me, So he says, if you make me first, he says, I am coming soon. And then it's got a whole bunch of little asterisks. Soon, 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 soon. He says, don't keep what is not yours. What's he talking about? What was that? That's right. And a lot of it is his word, isn't it? He gives us his word every time we take time out to talk with him. He gives us his word. Why? Why do you think he does that? That's right. He says, and my word, he says, you shall, how does it go? And you shall know my word, and my word shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But in reality, the truth, what is the truth? Come on. Huh? I am the truth. That's right. He says, he's the truth. He is the door. He is the reason why we gather together. And so the truth of God is found in here. And that is what's going to keep us free. Free from what? I remember the very first time that I was told, I was in the world, very much in the world at that time. I didn't know God. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know Jesus. I had gone to church all my life, but I never had an introduction to Jesus Christ. I never knew him as a Savior. I knew he existed. I knew he was the Son of God, but I had never met him. There is a difference between knowing and meeting, getting to know him, just like there's a difference in having friends, but then there's a difference with having a real relationship with someone. You can have acquaintances, but it's hard to form a relationship. And that's the way it is with God. God wants to form a relationship with us. And that's why he's talking to us here. He says, you are at the fork on the road. Yes, sir. Yeah, he was talking to him and didn't even know it. Right, so he's talking to us now, and he's asking us, what is truth? Truth is the word of God, the word that he wants us to know. What for? Why does he want us to know the truth?
Because we don't know the truth, we don't know him.
That's right. So that we can have a life and live it more abundantly, not be in need for anything, not be over here crying because I need this, crying because I'm going through this, fearful because I can't have. He wants us to know. He says, I want you to have life fuller, more abundant life without pain. To live in an abundant life with Christ is to be pain-free, to be hurt-free, to be happy. Because he says that the peace of God, he says, I give you my peace. Not like the world gives you peace, but my peace is different. The peace of God comes from within, and nothing can take it from you. Also, you can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't gamble for it. You can only get it from the Lord. He gives us that peace. The joy. The word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Our strength what? Our strength to continue on with the word and the walk. Amen? Let's look at what Joshua said. Turn to the book of Joshua 24:14. I like Joshua. He was a mighty man of God. He didn't mess around either. Everybody there? Joshua 24?
You had a bookmark, didn't you?
I sure did. I got smart. Look at. You know what I used? Oh, I lost, dropped it. 24:14. 24, chapter 24, and verse 14 and 15. Everybody there?
I am.
Well, I'm glad you're there, Reyes. Let's read. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity. And in truth, there is the word truth again. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you, who?
The Lord.
The Lord. It says, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. He says, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve who?
The Lord.
The Lord. That's the conscious decision that he's making there. And that's what God wants from us, to make a conscious decision. I am going to serve God regardless. Regardless of who says what and where I find myself. Why? Because I've been on the other side. I've been on the other side of the flood. I know what life is like without him. I know. It's no fun. It wasn't any fun for me. It wasn't any fun for my kids. And I know that even this day, on the other side, it's no fun. The other side of the fence where I was at, it's no fun, and it can never be fun. So Joshua says here, you choose whoever you want to serve. He says later on in the scriptures, the word says, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God and Mammoth. Mammoth is money, which is the god of the world right now. People say, oh, you can't live without money. And it's true to a certain extent. But you can live longer without money than you can without God. Because money is temporal. God is forever. Correct? So Joshua is saying, choose you who you will serve. As for me and my house, I'm going to go with the Lord. So that fork that we're standing on is the place where we want to go. We have two choices. Do we want to continue with the world? And you know, it's funny because we do that a lot. We say, oh, Lord, I love you so much and I want to serve you. But could you wait just a minute? Because I got this thing that I got to do. Wait just a minute, Lord. Don't take off. I'll be right back. Give me a minute. Because I got to go to this party, or I got to go to this dinner, or I got to go to this other place. God says, if you're not there when I come, you're going to get left behind. Left behind. I remember when I first met the Lord, that was one of the first tracks I ever saw. It was called the Tribulation Track, and it was called Left Behind. And that's for another time. I don't want to talk about that right now. But anyway, that's what the word says. You're going to be left behind. Turn to the book of John. And that's the Gospel according to John, yes. The Gospel of John. And we're going to read chapter 10. Chapter 10 of John. That's X. Where did my John go? There it is. John, chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 7. Everybody there? Look what he says. And then said Jesus unto them again. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. What's he talking about? He says he's the door of his sheep. He calls us his sheep, doesn't he? His children, his sheep. Let's read on. We're going to read all the way to 10. He says, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. A thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. See that? He says, I came here for a purpose because I want you to live an abundant life. We've been teaching on that, haven't we? I mean, what did we talk about last week? Anybody remember?
Yes.
Yeah. We talked about having an abundant life with God. Sliding right into the rest of God. Completely, totally under his care. He says, I am the door. Now, look at Luke. Turn to the book of Luke. Luke 16, and we're going to read from 16 to 27. Luke chapter 14, and we're going to read verse 16 all the way down to 27. Is everybody there now? Remember what we're talking about? What are we talking about? The fork on the road, right? Look what he says. He says, Then said he unto him. Jesus is talking to somebody. He says, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. In other words, he invited many. And he sent his servants at supper time and said to them, that they that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. Isn't that something? Everybody had an excuse. It says, and they all began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go to see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought me 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. They were all legal, logical excuses. What do you call it? Legitimate. Legitimate excuses. Everyone was busy. They had something to do. And then another one said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I like to say, I married me a wife, and I got to go see about the cow. Isn't that something? That's what they're saying. I can't come because I married a wife. Jerry? They're making it. No, I'm talking about these people on here that Jesus is talking about. They have legitimate excuses. Everyone has something to do. Isn't that what's happening today? Look at us. Look around us. Everybody has a legitimate excuse. Everybody's busy. They're doing something. That's why they can't be here. And I hate to talk about my people. I love them all of them. But when we tell the Lord, excuse me, I have something else to do, what do you think he says? Yes, sir. Exactly. What would have happened to us if Jesus, when the time came for him to pay for our sin, if he had said, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't go pay for that right now. Could you hold your cross for a minute? I got something else I got to do. Where would we be at right now? Yes?
That's what I was telling you, that I had decided that because my grandkids are always playing sports. And I said, I would go on Saturday, and then they had it because I didn't enjoy watching them. But then Sunday would come, and I thought, I have to put Sunday aside because I'll never continue going to church. You know, it's like you're making a choice.
Mm-hmm.
The weekend has 48 hours.
Exactly. Ten percent of a day belongs to the Lord. How much is 10%? 2 hours and 40 minutes. That's not too much to begrudge God. When he didn't say, okay, I'm only going to give 10 drops of my blood, and that's all you guys can have. You guys fight for it and see how many you guys can be saved. Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what we do. We always put everything else first. We bought we can't say we went and bought a piece of land, but let me say it this way. I just had my garden tilt. I can't come because I have to go take care of my garden. Huh? What if God had said, you know what? I can't go die for you. You're going to have to die for yourself because I got to do something else. Right. That's not right. Why is it okay for us to take time out for ourselves than it is for God? It isn't, is it? It's not fair. If he was able to give us everything, why can't we give him 2 hours and 40 minutes back? We're not done yet. Let's continue here. He says, and they all with one accord consent began to make excuses. I read that already. Verse 19. And another one said, I have a 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, bid me excuse. Another one said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came, and he showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, he was furious with him. It says, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly unto the streets and to the lanes and the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, and thou still hast commanded, and yet there is still room. And the Lord said, okay, said unto the servant, go unto the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now check this one out. It says, for I say unto you, when the Lord says, I say unto you, look what he says. I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Ooh. He says, bring them. Go ask them to come. Pull them. Compel means to convince them. Can you imagine what would happen if God said, okay, I'm coming and I'm going to take all the people that are in the church only? Woo-hoo. What would happen to all of those that were not in church? Yeah, but if you didn't, remember, he comes like a thief in the night. He's not going to let us know when. That's why he says, be ready. As a thief in the night, he says. A thief doesn't tell you and announce you and call you ahead. You know what? I'm going to go into your house and steal. I'll be there at 9 o'clock today. If he did that, you'd be there waiting with a shotgun in his face. He doesn't do that, and neither is Jesus going to do that. Remember the 12 virgins? 12 of them were smart. I was gonna get ready. I was gonna be there. Excuses. He says, if you're not gonna be here, and if you're not gonna be with me, if you're not gonna walk with me the way you're supposed to walk, you're not gonna taste of my supper. The Bible says that in that day, what day? At the time when we get to be up there with him. He says there's gonna be the supper of the Lord. When the banquet table is gonna be set, and all that were bidden, what's he talking about? All of those that were called. We talked about the called and the chosen 2 weeks ago, didn't we? Yes. About the people that were called and the chosen. The word says in the book of Jeremiah, he says, before you were conceived in the womb, before you were brought forth out of the womb, I knew you, and I set you to be a prophet. So we, as men and women of God, have a calling in our lives to do the things that God wants us to do. And then later on, he says, to every man it is given 70 that means 70 years of life, to find your calling and to get to work at it. So that when we get up there, we're going to have something that God gave us to do. If it was to play an instrument, then we're going to be ready for that. If it was to bring forth the word, because you know a lot of us, God has given us, we call it the gift of gab. It isn't the gift of gab. It's a gift from God to bring forth the word to the people that are in need. And that's a gift. And there's a call for that. It's called an evangelistic gift. A lot of people don't know what it is. They call, oh, I got the gift of gab. No, you got an evangelistic calling. What's it for? So that you can use it for God's purpose. That's what he told us earlier. He said, don't use what's not yours. Didn't he say that? Why do you think he said that? Because we're working too hard. We've got too many hours at work. We can't make it today. Huh? Does that mean that mammoth is more important to you than God? Does that mean your garden is more important to you than God? Your competitions is more important to you than God? Anything that's going to take the place of God is more important to you than God? Is that what we want? I don't think so. Because when that time comes, we're going to have to answer to that. We're going to have to answer to all those excuses that we had. When we come before the face of God, and everyone, all of us, whether we're saved, unsaved, no matter what religion we are, whether we have a religion, whether we have a relationship, whatever, it don't matter. All of us are going to come before the face of God at one time in our lives. And he's going to ask us, what did you do with the gift that I gave you? What are some of the gifts that he gives us? Love. What else? Faith. What else? Joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. He says he gives us a mind of God. He gives us a heart for God. He gives us a desire, a hunger for God. Even the hunger that we have for God is a gift from him. Even the salvation that we have, that we enjoy, that we think, oh yeah, well, praise God, I got it. I already got it. You got it for free, but it was paid for by somebody else. All you have to do now is walk the walk. And it's not easy, especially when we come to the fork in the road and we have to choose. And you're not alone. I'm with you. I'm just as guilty as you are. I have my own decisions that I have to make. And you know what else? The decisions that we have to make are decisions that have to be made every day. And like I said, the Lord comes to you in a most inopportune time. I know, because I go through that. Yes, sir.
I hear it. I believe everything you're saying. But what do we tell our boss when he wants to see something?
You don't have to worry about the boss. You worry about God first. Because when you say, Lord, this is what I want to do, the Lord will change your boss's mind. The Lord will change a circumstance if your heart is really in it. That's what the Lord can do for all of us. I know because he's done it for me many times. It's not easy, I know. But you know what? When we set our mind to do what God calls us to do, that's when God turns around and does the impossible. Unimpossible? How do you say it? Impossible. What do you do up to that point? You put yourself in the hands of God and let the Lord deal with whatever your boss is going to say. Because you know what? He says that he has all things under control of those things that concern you. And I'm not talking to you personally. I'm talking to you. Not necessarily. Not if you're putting your trust in the Lord. You have to trust in God. That's what he's talking about.
I'm not trying to ask you a hard question.
No, it isn't a hard question to me. I know.
And when they say you're working on the weekend.
When you do that, you tell the Lord, okay, Lord, you know my situation. I can't come to work. I want to be there. But Father, I ask that you touch this man's life, heart, whatever it is that he needs to touch. And then you say, you go and say, I'm putting myself in your hands, Lord. You deal with this situation. Before you know it, the situation is already going to be taken care of. Maybe, perhaps, you'll even get to work, and they'll say, we're not working today. What are you going to do, go home? Oh, well, I can't work. I'm going to go home and sleep. No. God did it so that you could come and worship him. I didn't say miss. I said put your hands in the hands of God.
I know. I'm just asking you, like, do I make that decision not to come in?
Well, that's your decision to make. I can't tell you what decision to make. I can tell you what I would have done. You know, just like Joshua. Joshua says, you choose. I can't tell you who to choose, but as for me and my house, I'm going to choose God. So it's an individual thing, just like salvation. Salvation is an individual thing. Relationship with God is an individual thing. God is not going to, he's not going to judge us. He's not going to judge you according to my belief. And he's not going to judge me according to your sin. Everyone has to pay for your own sin. And everyone has to stand up to what everyone believes personally. Our walk with God is a personal walk. Depending on how well you believe, how much you know, and what you want. So I can't tell you what to do. It's your decision to do. It's our individual decision to make. But let's go on. We read Luke, right? Let's turn to Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. It's in the Old Testament at the very beginning. I think it's, what, the third book, Jerry? Yep. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to read 15, and then we're going to jump to 19. And this, again, is Joshua. I love Joshua because he was a man of decision. He didn't mess around. Chapter 30, we're going to read verse 15. Let's start with 11. And this is Moses, no? I think this is Moses talking here. Read verse 11. He says, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. In other words, it isn't something that you can't do. It's a doable commandment. He says, it is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven? He says, and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. You don't have to do that. He says, I'm talking directly to you face to face. He says, neither is it beyond the sea. My commandment isn't so far away that you guys can't do it. He says that thou shouldest say, who shall go over to the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto you. In other words, he says, this word is close to you. It's very close. He says, in thy mouth and in thy heart, and that thou mayest do it. He says, this commandment that I'm giving you isn't so far away and so hard that you can't get it. Come on now. It's right there at arm's length. He says, see, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. He gives us those choices. We have the choice of life. We have the choice of good, and we have the choice of evil. It's your choice to choose which one you're going to choose. And then he goes on. Jump to verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth in record of this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that thou and thy seed may live. He says, it's your choice, and it's not that hard. It isn't so hard that you can't get it. It isn't so far away you can't touch it. It isn't that high up that you can't reach it, and it isn't that low that you can't stoop down and get it. He says, it's right there. It's doable. It's right at your hand. He says, and my advice to you, choose life so that not only you can benefit, but your seed. Who's he talking about, your seed? What's he saying there? Exactly. Your sons and your daughters and your nieces and your nephews and your grandsons and granddaughters are going to benefit from the decision that we make today. It's a decision that we make. How much value do we put on that decision? That's the question. And he's saying, choose life that you might live. But it's your decision. The other day, I There's this lady, I shared it with Irma last night. But there was this lady that I've been talking to, and she has, she's a prayer servant of God. She's a prayer warrior. And she has a ministry of, what do you call that? When you pray for others, help here.
Intercession.
Thank you. She is an intercede, an interceder. She has a what?
Interceptor.
Interceder, interceptor. She intercedes for God's people, okay? And she does this globally. She has people all over the world, I want to say, that pray with her. And she's an older lady. I've told you about her already. Remember I told you that I would like for us to help? Nobody has come up to me and told me I want to be part of this. But this lady has a prayer ministry. And she said the other day she was praying, and this one prayer warrior that prays with her called her, and they were talking, and she says that, actually, she called me Tuesday. This happened last Sunday. Remember what we talked about last Sunday? Anybody remember what we talked about last Sunday? Nobody remembers, huh? what was it about anyway? I forgot too now. That was the day before. It was our place. Last week, the calling and our calling and purpose was the week before. Last week, we talked about our place in God. Remember? Okay, well, anyway, this lady says that she was at church that Sunday when we were in church here. She was at church, at her church, home church, and she says that they gave an altar call for anybody that needed prayer. And she says that her 5-year-old son got up and ran to the front and just threw himself in the front, in the altar in front of the church. And everybody was getting prayed over. And then after the prayer got done, the little boy starts crying and just boo-hooing. So the lady gets up and she comes and picks him up and she goes, "What's wrong, baby? What's wrong?" And she tried to comfort him, and she couldn't comfort him. Finally, you know, when he caught his breath, he starts talking. He says, "Mama," he says, "I was talking to Jesus." He says, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, I was talking to Jesus. And he was telling me that he's coming soon. And he's feeling bad because people don't want to hear. He's feeling so bad that it even made him cry." 5-year-old. Imagine that. When you hear the heart of God, you hear it. Do you think that God wants any of us to fall by the wayside because we're busy? No. But you know what the Bible says? He says if man isn't going to hear, then he's going to talk to who? To the women. And if the women don't want to hear and talk, he's going to talk to the little children. And that's what he's doing right now. Why do you think there's so many abortions nowadays? Why do you think there's so many killings of little children? Because since the men don't want to listen and the women are getting too busy, no le queda más. He's got to talk to the little kids. And he says if they don't want to listen, he's going to lift up the rocks and the rocks are going to praise him. That's what the word says. I'm not saying this out of my own heart. I'm telling you what the word says. And if you don't believe me, read it. So now he's talking to the little children and he's saying, "I'm coming soon." And I think that if we if you would go back and pick up my book, I have all my sermons in here. Well, not all of them. Some of them I have in another notebook. But the majority of my sermons are in this book. But the last few, at least the last from the beginning of this month, I went through my book the other day. And do you know they all have to do with what we're talking today? With renewing our vote for God? With beginning to walk a holy life? With straightening our lives for the Lord? The majority of them are that. What we talked about, finding our place, we talked about that. God wants us to know who we are in Him. Why? God wants us to know the things that God is telling us. Why? just because I like to talk, I got the gift of gab and I want to talk. No, believe me, that's not why. Because his word says that he wants us to have life, have it more abundantly. He wants us to listen to everything that he's saying. He wants us to be prepared. Prepared for what? For the time of departure, because it's at hand. Amen? Turn to the book of Acts. I'm sorry, I kind of... Turn to the book of Acts. Acts, where are you, Acts? Here you are. The book of Acts, and we're going to read chapter 5. This is Peter, remember? Peter and John went to pray. Remember that one time? They always, as it was their custom, they went to pray at the synagogue. And the Jews, the priests, and all the leaders of that time, they got a hold of Peter, and they gave them the beating of their life because they didn't want them to talk about Jesus. They didn't want them to say what I'm talking to you about right now. Chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 25. It says, "Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the man whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Remember, he beat him. They beat him up, and then they put him in prison. Well, they let him out, I guess. That's when the doors opened. Remember, the doors miraculously opened, and they were out of the prison. Okay, it says, "Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them. He said, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you are out there filling Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter said, and the other apostles answered, and said, We ought to obey God rather than men." In other words, he says, yeah, that's what you said, but I don't care what you said. I'm going to do what God told me. That's a man of decision. They were men of decision at that time. That's how the church got to where we are now, because they obeyed God rather than men. Now go back to the book of Mark. And this, we're going to finish with this. We're going to read Mark chapter 8. And we are going to read verse 34 and 38. 34 to 38. Everybody there? Verse 34, it says, "And when he had called the people unto him," this is Jesus now, he says, "when he had called the people unto him and his disciples also, he said unto them." Remember, he used to get his disciples close to him and talk privately to them. But this time he's talking to all of them. He says, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Who is he talking about, whosoever? Anybody. That includes me, doesn't it? I am part of that whosoever. And so are you. He says, "Whosoever, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Remember the rich young man and the rich other guy that he built all those silos and it wasn't big enough, so he had to tear them down and build some more. And he says, "Tomorrow I'm going to build it bigger." And God said, "You fool, tomorrow your life is going to be required." And he didn't even get to take a grain of corn with him. But anyway, go back over here. 37, he says, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" How much money do you think your soul is worth? $8? Boy, you're cheap. 38, he says, "Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes to the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Ooh. In other words, he says, if you're too busy doing whatsoever, he just doesn't say work. He doesn't say having fun. He doesn't say feeding your cow or being married to your new wife. He doesn't put any specifics. But he says, if you are so busy doing whatever you count as being important in your life, then I am going to be busy when the time comes for you to come before my Father. If you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you too. Now, imagine this. Like you were asking, Cody, if I can't work, how much of that money are you going to take with you when you go to heaven? That's right. That's what he's trying to tell us. What about that wife that he married? Is he going to take her to heaven? No. She has her own appointment, and the man has his own appointment. What about that cow? Is the cow going to heaven with the man because he bought a new cow? Is he? No. You can't take the cow with you. The cow has cow heaven to go to, if there is a cow heaven. I'm not trying to scare anybody or yell at anybody. I'm just telling you what God told me. I take it as being serious. God wants us to stop being us and start being what God wants us to do. You want to live an abundant life? We can have heaven right here and right now if we want it. God can heal us. But see, God heals us from the inside out. And what happens? It's the overflow that brings God's people to know him. It's the overflow of God's presence. And God's presence doesn't come with us when we're ready for it. He comes when he decides. I can't say, well, just a minute, God. Just one minute. It's so nice in here. And you know, many times I've been tempted to do that because it is nice to be in bed. And he calls you to get up and to kneel in front of your bed. And it's cold. And it's freezing. And your feet get cold. And you say, but God, it's so cold. God says, okay, if you're too busy for me, never mind. And he leaves. And it doesn't feel very good when he does it. And he does. So, I am done. Any questions? Yes, sir.
What about vacation?
What about what?
I just want to hear, okay, so you take a vacation.
God did not say you can't have a vacation. As a matter of fact, he says that we need to have vacations. Of course, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, you know, if you say you go south, you got your week off.
You know, I not too long ago, I had a vacation. I took 6 weeks off. I was in Texas. And I went to churches over there. And believe me, not all of them were fun. There was one that I really enjoyed. One. The others, I had to sit there and just sit there, twiddle my thumbs, and listen to the word. And I could have gotten up and said, you know what, you're wrong, but it wasn't my place. But I did go. I wasn't here. My heart was here. That's right. You can't do that. I can't, because you know what? Because I can only give what God gives me. I can't give you something that God doesn't give me. I can't teach something that I don't know. Because somebody else got a message from God, I'm going to come home and teach it to you. I can't do that. Why? Because God didn't teach it to me, and I don't know what he's talking about. Yes, ma'am. For God. Mm-hmm. That's right. It doesn't necessarily have to be your church, as long as you know that is God's day. Even when we're sick, I remember when I was in the hospital, Well, which time was that? So many of them, right? But I remember when I was in the hospital, I would turn on my TV, and it's not fun to watch church and church on TV in the hospital bed. But it's doable. Yes, ma'am. There you go. As long as your heart is with, it's in the right place, you will find a place to serve God, to enjoy time with Him. Yes. That's what God does for us, you know. You know who does that, though? Who do you think does that? Who do you think gives you more work? Who do you know that gives you, puts you in a position to where you have to be there or you're going to lose your job? Who do you think does that to you? You're a man of God, you know. That's why God gives us those decisions to make, because the walk with God isn't an easy walk. He never told us that it was going to be a bed of roses. And even if it was a bed of roses, do you know that even roses have thorns and they prick hard? Praise God. Okay, any more questions? Moving right along. It's a tough decision to make. He never told us that it was going to be easy. And just like he said in Deuteronomy, he says, this isn't something that you can't reach. It isn't something that you can't do. When we purpose in our heart, then it's a done deal. Mm-hmm. That's why he says we are to confess our sins one to another, not so that everybody else can gossip because, oh man, did you know that woman over there, she's got da-da-da-da-da. No, not for that, but so that we can pray for each other. The Bible says we're to lift each other up in prayer. We are supposed to have someone to be accountable to, not just God, but one of our brothers and our sisters. And God will show us who we can have. Because you can't go to everybody, because if you come to somebody that you have a problem that's stronger than what he can take, what's going to happen to the other guy? You're going to bring him down, right? So you have to choose someone that's going to be able to feel what you feel and help you put that shoulder up. He says, lift up, strengthen those weak knees. Why do you think he says weak knees? Because when your knees are weak, down you go, right? Your knee gives in, and what's going to happen? you're going to drop like a fly, whether you want to or not. And it doesn't have to be both knees. One knee will do it. I know, because I've been on my face many times because my knee gives up once in a while. And there's nothing that can stop me because it never tells me I'm going to give out on you. It just does. And if I don't stick my hands in front of me, my face hits the ground. And I know I'm not alone when it comes to my knees. And when it comes to your hip, oh, man, that's a pain. But you know what? Regardless, we still have the opportunity to get up, just brush ourselves off, and continue walking. And that's the way it is with God. We fall every once in a while. Yes. In one accord. Not the car, but together. Yes.
And we're blessed by it, and we have the fact in our hearts that we are being obedient to what the Lord sends us to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right place and with the right parent. Now, when somebody else's parent might lead you down the wrong river and down the wrong street.
Down the wrong, right. Yeah.
So I preached after that. You know,
the thing about the Sunday word is there's no reason when I go on Sunday, there's no reason that I can't do what I'm supposed to do from like.
Okay, let's do something we haven't done in a long time. We haven't done trivia in a long time, have we? Yeah, let's everybody, all of us, come to the Lord, come to the altar, and let's let the Lord deal with our hearts. You know, because we're all guilty of the same thing. I don't want to put blame on anybody. I don't want to blame anybody because, like I said, I'm right here with you. I am right here with you. We all have the same problems. Let's ask the Lord to give us a heart, a hunger and a desire, and a heart for Him. That's what we need. We need a heart for God. And if anybody needs prayer, I need prayer more than anybody. Ready? I'll try to make this short so you don't have to stand for very long. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you guys, all of you, to talk to the Lord in your own heart. Let my words be guiding, but don't use my words. You use whatever words you want to use before God for yourselves. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I just come before your throne of grace to your throne, Father God, to obtain grace, Lord. Your word says, ask and you shall receive. Father, we're here with a naked heart, Father God. We're opening our hearts unto you. You know our thoughts. You know our minds. You know our needs. And you know our desires. And most of all, Father God, you know our downfalls. And so right now, Father, we just come and repent before your throne, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would have mercy. Lord God, have mercy on this sinful heart. And Lord, I ask that you would give us a clean heart. Renew our spirit. Renew our desire. Renew our love. Renew our vote for you, Lord God, that we can walk a straight and narrow the way you call us to walk, Father. That we can do and be. Father, we exchange our wills for yours. Give us that perfect will for you, Father, that we can have a hunger and a desire for you at every day of our lives. That we can experience your presence daily, Lord, and that we can learn to walk according to our call, that call that you have chosen for us, Father. Make us able, and not just able, but willing to be receptive of what you have for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you forgive us for everything, Lord God, and fill us anew, Lord, with your Spirit. Just fill our hearts with your Spirit, Father God, that we can be refreshed, renewed, that we can serve you with a refreshed mind, a refreshed spirit, a refreshed soul. Refresh our whole being, Lord God. Give us a desire for you. We want to know you, Lord. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name, we ask. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
If anybody has anything else you want to add, you're more than welcome to.
Thank God for my sister.
Amen.
Yesterday was her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Praise the Lord. Well, anybody else want to say anything?
Brought it to my attention more clearly. He's, like I was telling you, that it's been there, and I kind of just pushed it back. But it's like he's telling me that there's so many people that are
in need.
People to talk, somebody to talk to them and to get them closer to God or to just bring them. And so I've had this thought. I shouldn't say I have. God is putting it in my head. But again, I keep putting it aside, is that I'm meeting for like a tea thing for women. And
praise
I think
God.
That
let's make it happen.
Comes, yeah, and whatever comes out of that, you know, it'll be God's doing.
Amen. So. He'll get the glory. There's a song by, is it the Prophets, Sidewalk Prophets? I can't remember, but it says, if we are the body, why is the world so needy?
Yeah.
Has anybody heard that?
He goes through all of the body parts and says,
yeah, if we are the body, why are the arms not hugging and the eyes not seeing and the ears not hearing? You know, because we're supposed to. We are the body of Christ. The Bible calls us the body of Christ. And if we are, why is there so much need out in the world? The Bible says that the world awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. We're here. Why are we not manifesting what God has given us? Okay? We need to do that.
Yes.
So let's start doing it. Let's start. Let's just purpose in our hearts to do what God calls us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Okay, moving right along. You can sit down now. There's a seat right there next to you. Praise God. Let's pick up our tithe. Amen? Okay, let's give the Lord a wave offering with our tithe. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for making us cheerful givers. Thank you, Lord, for we are able to give what you have given us. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it. And we remind you of your word that says, that you will rebuke the devourer for our sake, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, bless those that give, and bless those that are not able to give. Give them seed to sow, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless your people right now, Lord. I bless your people, Father. I ask, Lord God, that you would put your hands upon them, Lord, and touch their hearts. Everybody made a decision for you today. Touch their hearts and give them inspiration for you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give the singers and the players an inspiration of love for you, Father. Lord, I just release your people from this place, but not from your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, bless the food that we're about to receive. Sanctify it. Let it be delicious. Let it be nourishing to our body and delectable to our palate. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Let's
see. Can I talk to the elders for just a moment?
You sure can. That's right, elders. Elders next Sunday. Elders meeting here after church.